Chai FM, Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
Good morning, David Harris. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And I just want to say that I've been listening to the show for the last 5 minutes. It is so nice. It is so calming. It's such a lovely, lovely program and such a great radio station.
Gosh, you're a keeper, aren't you? David Harris, Editor-in-Chief at the Clarion Project. We're talking this morning about who is Al-Shabaab. There was a terrible terror attack in Mogadishu this weekend, which took the lives of over 270 people. We're talking about the poorest of the poor. We're talking about people who are often disenfranchised. Al-Shabaab, can we please talk about who they are? Where do they come from? What is their ideology? Give us the vital statistics, David.
It's an incredibly confusing picture in Somalia. If you go back 10, 15 years ago, there was no government in Somalia. They had something called the Transitional National Government, which was a temporary government in place, and it came after years of fighting between various Islamist groups, non-Islamist groups, both on the political front and on the military front. Out of one of those groups that had done the fighting, and it was one of the organizations that had political power in Somalia, came a breakaway. They weren't satisfied with the way that the earlier organization was conducting itself. They thought they needed to be more militant, and so Al-Shabaab was formed. It was formed approximately 10 years ago, and at that point it was very much its own organization. By 2012 or so, it decided it would link up with Al-Qaeda, and to this day is still Al-Qaeda's arm in East Africa. ISIS did try to steal Al-Shabaab away, but Al-Shabaab largely has remained loyal to Al-Qaeda. You're talking about up to 9,000 fighters. At various points, they have controlled parts of Mogadishu and other major cities. Today, they're predominantly based in the rural areas of Mogadishu, particularly in the south of the country, and from there, they launch attacks into the big cities.
And what's their ideology? I mean, you say that they align with Al-Qaeda. I don't even know that Al-Qaeda was still around.
Yep, Al-Qaeda is very much around. and I mean, on the Clarion Project, I try to talk quite a lot about Al-Qaeda. First of all, because it's been obvious for a while that the writing's on the wall for ISIS, at least in Iraq and Syria, you know, and everybody who doesn't follow these issues carefully will think, yay, that's the end of the big Islamist groups and so on and so forth. The leader of Al-Qaeda, Ayman Zawahiri, has for months been calling for a merger with ISIS because he saw the writing on the wall and he thought, you know what, let's put aside all of our differences. We can merge ISIS and Al-Qaeda and create a new supergroup. So they're very much around operating in various countries in the Middle East. They're still strong, of course, in the Pakistan and Afghanistan, but not just in those areas. And indeed, you've got Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups right on the border with Israel in the Golan Heights who've been fighting there. The internal battle within Syria for a long time, but they're still committed to attacking Israel at some point as well. So Al-Qaeda is very much among us.
What are their goals? What do they want?
Al-Shabaab means the youth. They are called themselves the Mujahideen Youth Movement, although of course many of their fighters are no longer youths. They are Wahhabi Islamists. That partly explains why they're in line with Al-Qaeda. This is the very strict form of Islam that came out of Saudi Arabia. And one of the big battles I talked about earlier, the fact that there were various Islamist groups fighting one another, one of the other organizations that they fought against was a militant form of the Sufis. Now, we in the West think about Sufis as being, you know, the whirling dervishes of Turkey and so on, people who are very much peace-loving, but even amongst the Sufi believers, there are extremists. But again, it's almost like trying to explain Judaism and saying, okay, you've got Hasidim and you've got the non-Hasidim, the Mitnagdim. But then you say, okay, let's look in the Hasidim. And then you've got all of the different sects within the Hasidic movement, you know, whether it's Lubavitch or Breslov or Bells or whoever it is. And you're seeing something very, very similar, in the Muslim world. Of course, the massive difference is that thankfully, you know, Jewish people don't go around slaying one another.
Yeah. So a question that I actually asked earlier, you know, when one looks at the Taliban, the Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, ISIS, are these all branches of the same tree?
Yes, because the one part of your question that I didn't answer you when you said bottom line, what do they want? They want an Islamist world. They want where Islam, where the Quran rules everywhere. And all of these organizations that are violent are very much committed to saying we need to do that now. We need to do it by violent means. What separates these organizations from, say, the Muslim Brotherhood, which is probably the best funded, supposedly non-violent Islamist organization, is that the Muslim Brotherhood's philosophy is very much, we want a caliphate around the world, we'll do it bit by bit, slowly and quietly. If it takes 50 years, if it takes 500 years, it's fine. You Westerners don't understand that we Muslims are very patient people. Whereas the violent extremists are much more about this has to happen now. We have to take control ourselves now.
And how does one fight this? I mean, I saw actually yesterday a statement that was put out by the United States that they've actually said that they need to support Africa in their fight against terrorism. Which is very refreshing to hear, because it's the first, I haven't heard that before.
Absolutely. You're right. I think Africa, I mean, you and I, when we talk off air about what we're going to speak about in these sessions, you know, you've said to me numerous times, can we talk about something, you know, perhaps South Africa related or at least African related? And I say there isn't that much out there. Certainly, thankfully, as far as South Africans are concerned, there is a threat, but it's at a much lower level than, say, in Europe. However, in the northern end of Africa, the problems are absolutely, it's incredible. If you think about, first of all, what happened in Sudan, and the fighting, way back with the Islamists there, you've got, as you mentioned, Boko Haram in Nigeria, and now we're talking about Al-Shabaab. Because the borders in these parts of the world are not as hermetic as they could be, it's very easy for Al-Shabaab people to skip into other neighboring countries. So, for example, the first known terror attack ever carried out in Djibouti was carried out by Al-Shabaab. Think about what happened in the Westgate Mall. When was it? In 2013, 2014, when 70-odd people were killed in the Mall in Nairobi in Kenya. Yeah. That was carried out by Al-Shabaab because they were able to cross borders. The terrain doesn't lend itself in North Africa to serious combating of terrorism. And of course, and this is a very legitimate claim that's made by politicians throughout Africa, the rest of the world by and large doesn't care. It still thinks of Africa as being the black continent in the most negative of uses of that term. And outside of pillaging the resources of, you know, of African states, there are many countries in the world that simply don't care, even in 2017. So if we hear noises from the State Department or from anywhere else saying we are going to give backing to the poorly funded, poorly equipped peacekeepers, the brave people, particularly the Ethiopians, who are trying to bring peace to northeastern Africa, that's welcome news. And hopefully there'll be more than just words this time and people will actually act.
David Harris, thank you very, very much. That's where we leave it today. Look forward to speaking to you about better things on Monday, next Monday.
Absolutely.
Have a good week. God bless. Bye-bye.